Thank you for your prayer, and we want to thank all the servers and the sound staff and all the people who served us this morning, so let's thank them. I want to share a couple of quick stories with you, two in particular on prayer in my own life. It was 16 years ago we were due with our second child. I was driving towards L.A. when I got the phone call that no one wants to get, that something was wrong with our baby. I came home. Susan had had a routine ultrasound, and the head of the baby was enlarging, so we needed to get the baby out immediately. And I came home. Susan was at the table, opened Matthew 21, about believing and moving and mountains could be moved. So Susan and I just started praying and claiming that. We got to the hospital, the doctor pulled me aside and said, "Mr. Wilson, I just looked at all the ultrasounds and I don't distinguish a developed brain, which is not compatible with life." So we started praying. And we actually told the doctor we thought it was going to be okay. We started praying, friends started praying, friends started circling the hospital 24 hours a day. One of our friends is a songwriter, even wrote a song called Prayers for Ella Claire. Susan and I didn't, we were going to be up praying, and then we were going to get the results of the test the next morning after the baby was born. And God did a miracle. The baby had a developed brain. And she had a massive stroke, but she had a developed brain, which meant she was going to live. And I believe that there may not have been a developed brain before, but there was after. Amen. They might think, if I think it was a coincidence, I believe in the power of prayer. And that child, her name is Ella Claire. She's healthy, she's mobile, she's in tune with Jesus. When I'm struggling and I can't even pray, I invite her over to pray for me, and she prays in Spanish. I don't have any idea what she's saying. She has a gift of encouragement. She hugs waiters and waitresses at every restaurant we go to. She loves being together, and she's sitting right down here. Ella Claire.
Ella Claire, can you wave?
She's changed our family from a situation that was not compatible with life to maybe the most full of life person I know, and a person who brings life to our family, and we wouldn't trade it. So here's a situation where it was impossible, and it's redeemed. And I believe prayer works. 8 weeks ago, September 4th, I was walking after work near the beach. I heard a car coming fast from my right to my left, and I soon recognized that this was a police car chase. And the car came right by me and tried to make a right turn at about 55 miles an hour, and I'm seeing three women walk toward me. Two of them jump out of the way, and the third one is hit directly by the car at 55 miles an hour, flipped really high in the air, and landed right in front of me. And we were in shock. We began praying. Our Facebook friends started praying all over the world. Despite having a face for radio, they put me on the TV. I was on the lead of the 5 and the 6 o'clock news on the NBC affiliate asking the community to pray. I didn't see how she could survive. She was here in a pool of blood, and she was hit at 55 miles an hour directly. And I didn't see how she could survive. But we began to commit to prayer. I went to the hospital. They wouldn't let me in. Weeks later, I got a call on my cell phone from a number I didn't recognize. It was her husband, Randy, the woman's husband. He was almost in tears. He said, "Dean, we've had 9 surgeries. She's broken everything." He said, "It'd be a shorter list if I told you what she hasn't broken." He said, "Dean, I'm not a religious man, but I believe in prayer because this is a complete miracle. Her pelvis had shattered, and one piece came within millimeters of her femoral artery, in which case she would have bled out right in front of me in about 2 minutes. I went to see her a few weeks ago, and she has a brain injury that she's recovering from. So she was talking nonsense, and then she just went to sleep. And I asked her son, "Could we pray together?" And she had these big boxing gloves things on, and so I took her hand, and we prayed. And she was out. I didn't think she was hearing anything. I didn't. But the moment I said these words, I said, "Lord, we believe you for complete restoration." When I said the word restoration, she squeezed my hand like 6 or 8 times, hard. And I realized she's still in there. 2 weeks ago, I got a text from Randy. He said the prognosis is for a 100% recovery within 12 months. Two nights ago, Randy texted me a picture with him and Jen out to dinner for the first time out of the hospital in Denver, Colorado, and he said, "This is the best night of my life." He's not religious, but he's getting a lot more spiritual. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe, this morning I'm asking you for two things. First, prayer. I believe in it. It's not a side dish. It's the main course. Prayer is the word. And so I'm asking all 280 people who are RSVP for this event and for those people watching on video, I'm asking you to pray for CLA. And I'm going to be specific. I'm going to ask you to pray for the next 6 months. Would you commit to pray every week, every day, if you think of it, for CLA? For our clients, for our volunteers, for our volunteer attorneys, for Susan Vincent, and pray for God to provide the financial resources we need to keep going and to touch even more lives in the next year. So first I'm asking you to pray, and second I'm asking you for your generosity with your time, with sharing your friends with us, and with your money. I believe generosity is at the heart of God. We have a short time on earth, and I believe the generosity of God is inside of us waiting to come out. I believe generosity is attractive, and I believe it's contagious. I recently heard the story of a young man standing outside a convenience store in the inner city. A man drives up in a really nice car. He gets out to go into the store, and the young man says, "Nice car, mister." And the man says, "Well, thank you very much." The young man asks him, "Where'd you get that car?" The man replies, "Well, you might not believe this, but somebody gave it to me." And the young man is incredulous. "Who would do that?" The man says, "My brother gave it to me." The young man looks at the man, looks at the car, looks back at the man, and says, "Wow, mister, that's the kind of brother I'd like to be." I'd like to ask you to be that kind of brother with your time, with your sharing of your friends, and financially. It was already quoted this morning, "Whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me," said Jesus. I actually just misquoted it like I was going to talk about. He says, "Whatever you did for one." CLA is a ministry of one at a time. And so whatever you did in 2018, your volunteer attorneys, your volunteers, when you're sitting across that table at a clinic, it's like you're sitting across the table from Jesus. And so we thank you for your generosity this last year. I believe God leads people, and I believe he hears our prayers. I want to share one final story about God's listening and his provision. In a particular season of our family life, we were struggling financially. We had spent all of our savings actually on a surgery for Ella Claire that she needed on her foot and her ankle, and times were tight. So we were at church one Sunday. I was thinking a lot about the bills. And the pastor happened to tell the story about Jesus' words to the disciples when they needed money to pay their taxes. He told them to go fishing. And so they did, and as Jesus predicted, the first fish they caught had a valuable coin in its mouth. And they used it to pay their taxes. Well, that was easy enough. So Susan and I went home, and I was somewhat cynical, like, okay, well, what does this mean for us? There's a stack of bills on the desk. I don't fish, per se. Go fishing, coins, and between the two of us, I added it up and we had zero clues what this meant for us. But we prayed together and we asked God for provision. A couple days later, I got a call from a friend who wanted to have lunch, so I met him at Chili's on Friday afternoon. We talked, we had many lunches like this, and then he did something he'd never done before. He didn't know anything about our situation, other than we had Al Clare surgery. He said, how are you doing financially? I said, well, it's a little tight, but we're making it. He reaches into his pocket, and there's a folded up paper that looks like it's been there a long time. It's wrapped with rubber bands, and he begins to unwrap the rubber bands and the paper around and around, and out he pulls two shiny gold coins, and he puts them on the table. He says, if I gave you these, would you know what to do with them? And I said, no, I've never even seen a gold coin. So he gets on his cell phone, and he calls his gold guy, finds out what they're worth, and he takes out his checkbook, and he writes me a check for that amount. Paid all of our bills. Later, I told him about the sermon about the fish and the coin. And he said, Dean, I've been carrying those around for 10 years in my pocket, and I've never given a gold coin to anyone in my life. I got in the car and called Susan. I said, Robert just gave us two gold coins. And we cried. Our God, my friends, is the God who can take an abused woman in the depths of despair who's imprisoned in the flesh and in the spirit and free her. And not only that, but he can make her a CNN top 10 hero. Oh. And he can use her to test the lives of countless women. Our God, my friends, is the God who can make a developed brain appear when the best doctor in town says he doesn't see one. Our God, my friends, is the God of restoration and miracles who can restore a body that's hit by a car going 55 miles an hour that should have died. Our God, my friends, is the God who can put a coin in the mouth of a fish or two gold coins in the pocket of a friend in our time of need. And our God, my friends, is the God who can take a group of Los Angeles attorneys and use them to rally Christian attorneys to bring hope and solutions to the lives of the poor and the beat up, and thousands of them have been served over the last 13 years. Praise the Lord. So God can do anything. And so I'm asking for your prayer and your generosity. When you mention money at an event like this, everybody tends to kind of hold their wall up. Today I ask for money for kingdom work, and I love it. 21 years ago, as a rookie stockbroker, I was asking people for money to manage it. The strategy was this: cold call complete strangers just as they sat down for dinner and ask them for all their money. I had one man who used five or six expletives in as little as a sentence to ask me to find the highest ledge available to me and test gravity. Everything in me wanted to respond, okay, I'll put you down as a maybe. Money can be a touchy subject, but I'm not asking you to listen to me, I'm asking you to listen to God. And if he prompts you to give to CLA, we will be very grateful. We're in a season where we're asking God to move. It's a challenging time, but we're believing him. I'm the new guy around here. As I mentioned, I've been the executive director for just a few months, but what I've learned about CLA is it's an incredible work of God. It's done with excellence. There's a huge need, and we're believing God for the resources that we need to move forward. So I'm asking for prayer for 6 months. I'm asking you to let the generous heart of God out. So once again, I thank you for being here this morning. I thank you for your partnership in this work. I pray God's blessing over you and your family. We're going to have a few minutes just here for you to pray and respond if you're led. There's some sheets on the tables. And then just in a couple of minutes, our chairman of our board, Charles Tejeda, will share a few words. Thank you.